For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? We're back. 5 o'clock hour. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, DP is on his way up there to the O to call the game for the Omaha Supernovas tonight. Pre-game at 7:30. First serve is at 8:30. Live in effect on the ticket. Tune in. Pre-game show. DP, Coach Renee Saunders, and Rico. And then Coach Renee Saunders and DP will be live with the call. And right now, we're going to call a spade, hopefully. We're going to talk about the draft. And we're going to go over, Austin, Mel Kiper's winners and losers and values, right? And the head scratchers. We already talked about Atlanta Falcons, and they will be talked about at nauseam tonight. They will be getting all the smoke. Until minicamp. And they will be getting it all year. So just get ready, batting down the hatches down there at Flowery Branch in Atlanta. Mel Kiper's big winners from round one, the Chicago Bears. And that's obviously you get your, hopefully, your franchise quarterback who is very confident in himself and also the pieces that they've put in place before he got there. And they got Rome Odunze, who people thought immediately after a college football playoffs and all through the draft and especially after the combine, that he was as good, and a lot of people thought that he was better than Marvin Harrison Jr. So I think at getting him at 9 is a value pick because you would think that he would be a top 5 pick.
It sure can be considered a value pick. I don't love it for the Bears because their defense still has some work. So I wouldn't have been shocked to see them, you know, let it ride with just getting Keenan Allen in the offseason, another year DJ Moore.
Cole Kmet.
And then Cole Kmet still around. And just, you know, say, hey, that's a pretty good group for Caleb Williams to work with. We got other holes. Let's trade back into the first round, trade out of the rest of the first round, get more picks for later in the draft. But to have a young quarterback and a young receiver come in at the same time, be able to work together, that's also not a bad strategy necessarily. So I see the pathway in getting two potential top five guys.
Yeah.
Kind of like what Houston did last year. But different second position.
Yeah, and they got this pick from Houston. So I like it. I like it because, you know, the one thing, if I'm Justin Fields, I'm pissed off. Number one, the all of a sudden I'd leave. Now, whether you can think whatever you want about Justin Fields, maybe they felt like he would get to be the guy, and they always had their sights on Caleb Williams because of the way that, you know, the teams project potentially where they could be. And so they knew quite early in the season they'll probably be picking number one. The addition of Keenan Allen after his best year as a Charger, and he's going into Hall of Fame without a doubt. DJ Moore, who I think had a connection with Justin Fields and started to really flourish, and that's where probably Justin Fields' frustration is coming from. Cole Kmet, who is a ascending tight end, right in that second tier behind Kelce and all that, right? And Kittle, you know, those are the top guys. And then Kmet's there. And so you think and hope Caleb Williams, with his ability to create plays in the pocket, outside the pocket, off schedule, sneaky good athlete, can hit, he's definitely dual threat. He can kill you in the run game. We've seen that when he was at USC and Oklahoma. They've had a good draft. For the Bears fans, you should feel good that they made a decision, whether you like it or not, with the coach and the GM. They did their due diligence in the draft. They drafted well. And let's see what they, at least last night, see what they do. The next team, which is up in the air, is the Minnesota Vikings. They got J.J. McCarthy, who Mel Kiper loves, and they got Dallas Turner. I think they got more value in Dallas Turner because I think I view Dallas Turner as a top 10 pick versus 17. Obviously, the way the draft went, everybody slid. So I think they gained some there. And you got J.J. McCarthy. You like him because of who he played for in college and what he was asked to do, and also the pieces around him. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see what the Vikings do. But I think they had a pretty good draft for them as well.
I do, too. I don't love giving up four picks for a guy. That's a lot who's unproven. But if you're right and his ceiling is as high as it seems like it could be, then it would be silly not to give that capital up for an edge rusher who can be there for 7 to 10 years and, you know, help you at least keep pace with and not even improve on the rest of the division.
And see, what you're talking about, they gave 23, and then they gave up the 167th pick, which is okay. And then they gave up third and fourth rounds in 2025. Here's why they do this, Austin, is because they'll get comp picks back for Danielle Hunter and Kirk Cousins. Okay. And so the better that they play, they'll be able to replenish those potentially.
The better the pick is.
Okay. So you don't lose much. And so they're projecting that one or both plays better, and that's what you'll get in return. Mm-hmm. So it was a big haul to go up there, but I think, as you saw, Kevin O'Connell, he was elated. Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think that they had a good one. They got Choi Futanu, who's a tackle from Washington, is going to project to go into as a guard. This is a guy who I thought maybe Chicago should have traded down or out of the first round, or not out of the first round, but out of the first 15 picks to get, because how do you help a quarterback, offensive line? Maybe there'll be more players, but I think Pittsburgh, for a need for them, you could tell right now what they're trying to do. They're going to get back to being physical now. Mm-hmm. They're going to get back into play action. They're just letting you know the offseason, Russell Wilson still has some juice in his legs, Justin Fields. The way that they kind of stayed pat, they're going to get back to that ground and pound. So if you're in that AFC North, Pittsburgh's coming. With that defense, they're going to try to be physical. I think it's a great pick.
I do, too. The Polynesian thing with Polamalu kind of stands out to me there. But outside of Alt, who I think was pretty clearly the number one tackle for most people, there wasn't much separation between Latham at 7, Mims at 18, and then Futanu at 20.
Yeah.
So for this guy to be, you know, in the running for the second best tackle, and he's the fourth one off the board, if you're looking for that identity, snag them in.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great athlete, too. Mm-hmm. And he gives you position flexibility. He could be a right tackle. He could be left to right guard. But I think what Pittsburgh's going to try to do with their kind of, you know, thunder and lightning backfield, he gives you options as far as, you know, the G pulls and stuff like that. Kind of like where Alan Faneca, you know, he played a lot of tackle at LSU, came in the guard, Hall of Famer. And trust me, I saw him up close and personal. That dude was good. You know, he was excellent. Listen here, Jacksonville Jaguars, you lost Calvin Ridley, right? But they drafted the guy, Brian Thomas, who I think is a great receiver. Kind of always, you know, took a backseat to neighbors, but he led the nation in touchdowns. So I like guys that can score and he can separate. But before we talk about Brian Thomas going to Jacksonville and Jacksonville doing a good job of, you know, replacing and replenishing the loss of Calvin Ridley, Brian Thomas' parents had the best interview NFL draft history. If you guys haven't seen it, I reposted it or quote tweeted it or whatever it is on X. About it. I said, well, you know, what happened was they talked to his dad and he was very short, asked his mom, you know,
how far is the family come?
She said, we came from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That and was dead on with it. I like it.
Give that polite knowing smile.
Yeah. You asked, I answered. I like it, though. Other teams that Mel Kiper talked about is the Commanders getting Jaden Daniels. I think that was great. And then also he talked about Drake May. He likes Drake May as a prospect, likes him better than Mac Jones. The Patriots just don't have the pass catchers at the Commanders, so he liked it. And then he was talking about the Bills. And this is where I feel like, well, before we get into that, Austin, I'm gonna give the Raiders a shout out. At number 13, they weren't able, obviously, probably to trade up to get Michael Penix. Stayed pat.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they can get a. There's some really good quarterbacks who I think that might end up being better than the first rounders and the second rounder and the third rounder, possibly, but we'll get to that next. I think they got the best player in the draft, Brock Bowers. I think he's the best football player right now, plug and play, super factor right now. You had to take him. Now, I know you took Michael Meyer last year, tight end from Notre Dame,
mm-hmm.
but his game is different.
Very.
So,
for the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's no skin. Now it opens up for Meyer, and it opened up for Brock Bowers, and Brock Bowers gives you position flexibility, and it gives the offense actually more efficiency to be able to be sustainable. Why? Right now, if you just took the quarterbacks, they aren't scaring anybody with the quarterback position. But how do you get them to play above their ability? Attack the middle of the field. Now you can do it. And guess who else is happy about that? Devontae Adams. He's extremely happy. But I like what the Raiders did. What do you think?
Yeah, it's one of those picks that you can't afford to let the guy slip. You can't let taking a tight end in the first round in last year's draft keep you from taking another tight end in this year's draft. Because like you said, they're not the same. Like, Bowers might not even meet the tight end label in the NFL. He is
a hybrid.
He's just a football player, yeah. Right? Like Matt Rhule would say. I'm upset at the Raiders because with every pick he kept dropping, Jay, I was waiting. I was waiting for him to get to 15. Yeah. I was waiting. But they didn't do it, and they obviously couldn't pass him up. So, yeah, I think that's good value by the Raiders.
It's one of those things that the Raiders never thought he'd be there. I'm sure they never projected Atlanta to take Michael Penix. And in my opinion, he's the best football player out there. He's a three-time All-American, comes straight from high school, has destroyed the whole college football landscape in the biggest or the best conference. And then at the biggest moments, he's been unstoppable.
Even his injury didn't really slow him that much.
He still was doing work. And so that lets you know. And he's tough as nails, too. And he's been challenged and coached at a pro level. Now, we'll go to the head scratchers. Is first and foremost for Mel Kiper was the Atlanta Falcons. Me, you, and DP talked about that in depth. The next is Bo Nix at number 12. Now, according to Sean Payton and George Patton, their GM and head coach, obviously, that Bo Nix had the best. They took out all of his short and intermediate throws, like the bubble screens, the now routes, and all that stuff that you expect a first-round pick to be able to complete. And they talked about pressure, the completion percentage against pressure, and in the pocket, in medium and deep throws. And they said he was the number one guy in every category. Had a great visit, top 30 visit with Sean Payton and crew, and a great pro day. Mel Kiper thinks it was a stretch. Now he's automatically getting compared to Drew Brees. Now do they have Marquise Colston out there, who was a 7th-round pick that ended up, he's going to be one of the greatest receivers in New Orleans Saints history, and you still had an effective Joe Horn and guys like that. But on the surface, I like the pick, maybe not at 12. But I think at 12, with the rash of guys going early, you got to think the Raiders are next.
That is I go. I almost force the Raiders' hand if I'm the Broncos. If Sean Payton really loves Bo Nix that much, okay, fine, whatever. But if you're just taking a quarterback just because you feel like you need a quarterback, again, that room is wretched right now for Denver. I'm not sold on Bo Nix. I see too much Kenny Pickett. I really do. And so for me in that position, if I'm Denver, maybe my coach likes him. I don't, you know, piss my coach off too much or anything.
Yeah, because he got more longevity than you.
Right. Yeah. But what I'm, my thought process would have been, do the Raiders need a quarterback that bad, or did the Raiders want Penix that bad? Because if they just wanted Penix that bad and they're not going to go quarterback, I absolutely trade back. Minnesota was behind. They jumped in front to go get their guy. Nobody else in the first round really seems they need the quarterback. So if I can trade back into the mid-20s, get a lot more draft value for capital other places, and still get Bo Nix, I would have called Las Vegas' bluff
right?
and I dared them to take Bo Nix.
Yeah, because I think they were in love with Michael Penix Jr. I don't think they were in love with Bo Nix. I think it was a little bit early. I'm not upset because I think listening to Sean Payton, he loved him. Mm-hmm. So if your head coach loved him, and essentially, you know, you got to do, you got to give him a chance. And you know why Sean Payton loved him anymore, or even a little bit more? Because he saw the dudes in the room right now. He saw Zach Wilson. Listen.
Jared Stidham.
Yeah. Yeah, I seen those dudes, and it's like I always say, those two, what type of diarrhea? Like, both of them are explosive diarrhea in the kind that affects you all day. The Tennessee Titans, who I thought, right, we'll be real quick here. Tennessee Titans at number 7. I like this dude, though. I'm telling you why. Here's J.C. Latham. I think he's the most physical offensive lineman, legitimate physical offensive lineman that's came out in the last 4 years. I think he is like Nelson when he came out. Listen, he gonna hurt some people, and he plays with an edge. I think he's better prospect than any of the other Alabama guys that came out, especially the one that went to New York. I think it's a little bit high for Tennessee to take him at 7, but I think Tennessee wants to get back the same thing with Pittsburgh. What do they want to do? They want to line up and punch you dead in the face. Now, it's weird that they're trying to do this now and Derrick Henry's gone, but they feel like they've upgraded the skill position, you know, for Will Levis. I think Will Levis is a franchise quarterback. I like it. But I also think that they will probably get receiver help in the second or third round.
I need to go back and double check this, but I'm pretty sure the lasting image. Okay, I have it pulled up right here. I'm gonna let it play through. I just go back to the Rose Bowl, Michigan, Alabama, and Alabama runs that play. Latham got destroyed.
Yeah,
man.
On that play,
he got wrecked. And I get it. That's an NFL dude lining up across from him. But man, if he gets his guy, Bama gets that game. And I know it's not fair to grade off of one snap.
Yeah, and the snap was bad.
It was not a good snap, but man,
it wasn't a good play call.
You got blown up,
yeah,
young fella.
Yeah, yeah. I know,
Jay.
But listen, you throw on that Georgia tape. He was checking IDs.
He was
taking your wallet. And he was throwing guys out of the club by the back of their pants. Every single one of them Georgian dudes. Now, Michigan, I think, was on another level. But I don't like the play call.
Agreed.
I think that play call didn't help his skill set. Not making excuses for it.
Yeah.
I think he's going number 7. You should be able to make some chicken salad out of chicken, you know what.
Right. And again, I'm not being fair to him just by grading off of one play either. So I'm going to throw that out there. I'm sure he's going to be fine. But again, the value.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Could you have got him later or somebody comparable? That's where I agree with you there. Yeah. I like the player. Don't like where he got picked. Another guy where I like the player, don't like where he got picked is Ricky Purcell, where San Francisco picked him at number 1. I have a wide variety of reasons why. Number 1. You're picking him in the first round. You have a former first round pick, Brandon Ayuk, you need to take care of, who you know can play. Mm-hmm. Debo Samuel in the back channels is on the trading block. You got Jennings, who you like. You can kind of shift from Christian McCaffrey. You can use him in that Debo Samuel like role to actually lessen the natural, you know,
wear and tear
of handing him the ball. But then you got to think, you could get Mitchell. You could have got Leggett to do like Ricky or for this guy. And you could have got a guy that's almost like him, probably not as fast, Keon Coleman or somebody like. There's plenty of wide receivers. Once you get below the 30, 31, unless it's a guy that slipped because of a weed test or something, you might as well wait to round 2.
Yeah.
Now you're locked into him all because you probably don't want to play Brandon Ayuk. You're trying to trade Debo Samuel. who I don't think has the trade value. So I think that you're in a little bit of trouble there. So
yeah, didn't like that one either. I think Pearsall can find a role, but that's a late second, early third guy.
In the way that they play offense, it's more play action and stuff like that. So, you know, I think that was a little bit of a stretch. So, you know, anyways, we're ahead of schedule. We're going to take a little bit of a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about who possibly could go in rounds 2 and 3, who could provide some value. You know, I think one guy that's kind of ascended through before we go to break, ascended up the draft charts, oddly enough, has obviously Caleb Williams' connection to Spencer Rattler, right? Made a home for himself when he went through the transfer portal. You know, they thought that, you know, we had the rumors that he was in town at Nebraska, ended up at South Carolina, burst on the scene last year, played well last year, or burst on the scene last year, and then took that momentum, even with losing Marcus Satterfield, and did it again this year. And look, you had a first round receiver, Leggett, so obviously somebody had to deliver him the mail. So we're gonna see who we think could possibly get picked in rounds 2 and 3 tonight. But we're gonna take a quick break. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School. We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.